You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Bar the doc, and welcome to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas, and definitely actually talking about homeopathy. So we're continuing our homeopathy basics part of our podcast progression, where we talk about some aspects to help you get really familiarized with how homeopathy works, how remedies are selected, which is what we're talking about today, and what to expect, as well as then eventually getting into a lot more in-depth conversations about ways people, things are managed and ways people respond, questions that we get frequently from our community. So today, like I said, we're going to talk about how a remedy is selected, which is probably going to be another Dr. Bar heavy conversation. So Jody, as always, help slow me down, help reel me in when I start to go a little bit super geeky on things, or if I get, you know, rambling away and lose myself and get too far off the point. So I know that there was something you wanted to touch on first before I get into all of the specific, like the ways that homeopathic medicine is selected.
Yeah. So right whenever I started to consider doing homeopathy and I understood nothing about homeopathy, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I see some moms talking about like selecting a remedy for their kid. How hard would it be to get online and type Avery's symptoms in and just come up with a remedy? And then even as we got into treatment and Avery was working through healing, there was the multiple times where I get feisty and big-headed and I'm like, I could do this. And that was early on. But the further I got in, the more I realized, like, the thing that you do in an appointment is mind-boggling to me, putting all of the pieces together and coming up with one individual remedy. And and also seeing this for years where moms are coming through trying to select remedies for their kids. I think what I'm trying to say is it's with such complex kiddos, it is really, really important that we work with a homeopath that knows what they're doing and we not try to experiment. I've spoken to too many moms that are coming to resilience because they have given their kid a remedy that they selected themselves and they don't know how to manage the responses to the remedy. So things have just gone in a very different direction that they were intending. So now they're like, okay, I'm ready for help. But it is really important with complex kiddos to not, it's just not something that we want to mess around with as moms. Now, colds, illnesses on normally healthy family members, that's fine. Dogs, yeah. I experiment on my dog. That's totally fine. But the complex kiddos, save it for a dog.
Even acute care in complex kiddos, because you doing an acute remedy while you're using a remedy for a chronic case can completely disrupt the response. And the acute symptoms can actually sometimes give you really important keys into the chronic case. And we'll talk about that in a future episode after we've gone through some of the basics. We're also going to talk about the overall responses to remedies in a future episode too. So that you can help, we can like really tease that out. So I want to touch really quickly, you just triggered something for me, is like with the emergence of AI and a lot of different things that can be used to help do searches for things. And like AI is getting brought in to be used in lots of different places. And so of course people are going to start wondering about using AI for homeopathy. And could I just go to whatever AI chatbot I prefer and type in the symptoms that my kid is experiencing and get a homeopathic recommendation? One, you might be able to get a homeopathic recommendation, but it's probably not going to be the most effective. Because when you're talking about acute illness, yeah, that actually probably would be a really fantastic use, like to experiment for just like acute cases. Here's what I've got going on. I would not trust a chatbot that didn't come back with any questions for you to clarify, because even with acute cases, to just say you have a runny nose, well, what color is the discharge? What does it feel like? Where is it coming from? Is there a time of day? Like all of these nuances that we need to get a complete picture or a complete symptom that's really useful, rather than something that like literally 1,000 or more remedies could be effective for. To narrow it down to the best fit, we do have to get specifics. So if you're getting a response that says, like, you put in, my kid has this, 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 and this, what remedy, what homeopathic remedy should I give? If you get no questions back from the chatbot, it's probably not a chatbot that's actually been taught how to utilize homeopathy effectively. But that said, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of improvements in the AI for acutes. One of the things, though, when we're talking about complex chronic illness, it's not just about like putting in the symptom. It's about understanding the specifics and understanding the interpretation and figuring out what's going on. And so somebody will come to me and talk to me about one symptom, like about rage or OCD or whatever it happens to be. And I have to ask a whole lot of questions so I can really understand what's going on underneath it, exactly what's happening and what the symptom really is. Because, you know, I'm trying to think, even just earlier today, talking to a client, there was a symptom that mom presented and just was describing what was happening with their kiddo. And I had to like have lots of questions and lots of conversation to figure out exactly, was it discontentedness? Was it anger? Was it reproaching others? Was it being censorious or critical? And like the specific symptoms that you give will impact the output that you have. And so you really need somebody who can understand what's going on. And so a really good homeopath's job is really first and foremost to be a really good listener, because we need to gather information, synthesize, understand exactly what's happening, and then compile all of those things, all of the individual disparate symptoms together, understand exactly what they are, understand exactly how the body is responding to them, all of the nuances of that symptom, and then synthesize it all together to find the best homeopathic medicine that matches those symptoms when it's given to a healthy person. So the way a homeopathic medicine is selected, especially in a chronic state, is going to take a while. So like at least with resilience naturopathic, most homeopaths are going to have an extended interview for their initial intake. We take 2 to 3 hours for our first visit because we need to know the entire health history, everything that's going on. We need to understand all of those nuanced details. I will tell some people sometimes that I need stories because I need to, and I need multiple stories and examples because I need to understand it almost as if I'm experiencing it myself. I need videos. I need, you know, words that your children use. I need lots of that information so I can really understand. Then I need to also go through the medical history and understand what's been tested to make sure that we're looking for whether this is something, this specific symptom, if it could be caused by something that is an obstacle to healing that needs to be addressed that homeopathy is not going to be effective for. And so that we can then refer somebody to get that worked up by a medical professional locally. Then we need to look for all of the things that could be contributing to their condition, like we talked about in the last episode, where there's lots of medications or supplements, dietary changes, whatever, that could be contributing to the current state of things, so that we can really synthesize all of that together. And that's just not something that I have confidence that a chatbot is going to be able to do. Maybe sometime in the far future, but until they really get to the point that they can understand the nuances of the ways humans talk and human emotions and figuring out how to like ask back to elicit more information, we're going to miss things, right?
I can't imagine a chatbot ever be, because it is nothing short of you extracting, and I mean painfully extracting information out of me to be able to get to what I'm trying to say and what it actually is. I can't imagine any bot ever being able to do that.
And to your point earlier, that even if it was effective in getting the first homeopathic medicine that was going to be helpful in the case, it's not necessarily going to understand the nuances of how to treat it because it only works with the information that we give it. And we need lots of information to help train these large language models. And so until there's a lot of information that's being given to it for how to manage it effectively, it's not going to be able to tell you like, this is what happened with my kid. Here's what you need to do. Because I can't even do that. Like when we have people in our group coming in and like posting questions, like, here's what's going on. What could be happening? I have a couple of things it could be, but you're probably going to need to talk to somebody to get more details to figure out if it's this or if it's this. And I can't say for sure without more information that I'm going to have to ask to really understand what's going on. So What we're doing, like I said, we're gathering all this information to understand the totality of symptoms. So that means not just the thing that's bothering you the most, not just the thing that like you want to make go away. So you can't go to a homeopath and say, I don't care if nothing changes except the OCD, because the OCD is probably the least beneficial symptom to help find the remedy that's going to be effective. Because we need to make sure that we're covering the totality of the symptoms, and we can only go with the information that we have from the provings or testing that's been done to understand what remedies can be used for through the testings and then the clinical verification. And so some things that, homeopathy, it can be really effective for, we just have limited information. And so we have to lean on other parts of the case to really understand. So, and tics and OCD are some of those symptoms that the materia medica is disparate and lacking, and that we need to just continue to add to it, because homeopathy is an ever evolving, ever increasing amount of information. But there's a lot of things that are missing from that. So we look at the whole case, everything that's happened in their life, everything that's happening in their body currently, and the specifics of what's happening right now. And then we find a medicine that matches the most of those symptoms. Now, some people are going to be like that approach where we're using the totality of symptoms will sometimes help for people. Occasionally, there's going to be a one really, really, really strong symptom that's going to be a guide. And we're not, it doesn't mean that that's the only symptom that's going to get better. It still can help stimulate healing and nudge the body in one direction. It's just that that symptom happens to be very well proven and very well verified and only found in one or two remedies. So that can happen occasionally, but it's rare that we have like one symptom that we're hanging our hat on. Usually we're looking at a bigger totality. And sometimes for some kids, we find that we need to lean more on the mental, emotional, behavioral symptoms. Sometimes we need to lean more on the physical symptoms to really give us our guideposts for where we need to go. And that's something that we, again, have to learn over time working with kiddos based off of getting to know them and seeing how they respond and learning with each individual. Homeopathy is absolutely the most individualized medicine that's available. And it's not just in selecting the medicine, it's in how the body responds to it and how it's utilized.
Yeah. This has to be it, part of it. This is why I think homeopathy is working for so many people, is because it's like, if I had two kids with PAMS, their treatment, how homeopathy plays out for them is going to be completely separate. Because it is so honed in on exactly what was going on with Avery. And it just makes sense to me that system and that customization, is like, that's working really well, because it is all about what's going, how they're specifically experiencing things. And I'll say, as a mom, this part right here has been really, really cool. I enjoyed this part of it right here, because I came into homeopathy thinking, I know Avery's body. Like, I know everything that's going on. Yeah. There were so many things in the initial appointment that I was like, oh gosh, I've never thought about that. Like, I have never, and I had also never thought about it in the depth that you were teaching me to think about it in. And so now, like, as moms, we love being connected with our children's body and really like understanding. I just have, to me, this has been one of the really cool parts, is really having a deeper understanding. And it also has created, like, with my whole family, a deeper, I'm more empathetic and I'm more understanding of everything that's going on. Anyways, I don't know that I'm really explaining this, but going into those symptoms deeper and more symptoms that I didn't even realize were not necessarily symptoms, but quirks that just made Avery Avery. I've enjoyed that part of homeopathy a whole lot.
So if anybody just was listening to this and got freaked out because of like all the ways that you've said you didn't know this and you didn't know that, and you didn't know how to do this, like, there's a lot of people who will sometimes feel like, could I possibly even be successful? Because the truth is, we are relying on what you can share from what you can observe from your children, and whatever your children are able to share. And some people are, their kids cannot participate, and some people don't want their kids to participate. We recognize that for some kids, it's actually can be really hard to participate, because these poor kids are so aware of what they're experiencing. Even if they have like flares or moments that they are like checked out, that they don't remember, they still remember that it happened and they remember the fallout from things. So it's one of the cruelties, right? It's like one of those conditions that has like psychiatric and mental health components to it, that there is full awareness of what's happening instead of like, you know, disconnection from, and like, this is my reality and like, this is everybody's reality. And like, they're like, they recognize that there's something happening. So one of the things that we have done for our community, if you're not a member of our Facebook group, and I know we talk about it all the time, so hopefully if you're interested in becoming one, you've already joined us in the Facebook group. But one of the things that's a really great benefit of being in the Facebook group is that we've got a series of videos in there to help people prepare for appointments. For anybody who works with us, we also give them the information that they need to be as prepared as possible to be as effective as possible in those visits. So hopefully, whether you're working with us or not, your homeopath should give you a really detailed questionnaire to help guide you and like trigger some of those thoughts for you. Mm-hmm. If you're preparing for a visit, it's really beneficial to take notes, because stories are so much more helpful than like you trying to describe something in generalities. So a story will give us details and give us that opportunity to say, oh, I need to know more about this, that you might not think you need to share more details about, but that because of my understanding of the condition and the homeopathic remedies, that I know that there might be something to this thing that you're not really focusing in on at all. There's definitely been times for both of your kiddos, Jody, where you said something in passing and I was like, whoop, tell me more about that. And it made a substantial difference.
Yeah.
For those of you who are not on Facebook and don't want to be on Facebook or don't want to be part of that community, we do have a series of videos on our YouTube page that are the Being a Better Observer series. It's with myself and one of our docs, Dr. Peterson's, where we talk through in like little short videos, about 5 minutes each, where we talk about how to observe the different body systems and some of the types of things that we would need to know with homeopathy. So that's also a great resource. We'll put that a link to that in the show notes so you can get to that playlist with the Being a Better Observer. And that will just help give you some insight to types of notes that you would want to take and stories that you would want to share with your homeopath as you're getting ready to get started. So the other thing with, go ahead, Jody. It looks like you had something you wanted to say.
I was just going to go, because it's funny now that you're talking, I'm like, oh gosh, we should go back and talk about being overwhelmed again, because all of this can sound really overwhelming, but it's also part of a learning process. Like I really honestly think if I can do homeopathy, anybody can do homeopathy, right? Because I came in ADD as all get out, brain fog, like my own symptoms from living in mold, like extreme brain fog, not remembering stuff. I had zero, I didn't have this group. I had zero education. I didn't know what classical homeopathy meant. I didn't even know that I was supposed to come to the first appointment with all of these explanations. You slowly taught me over time. You very slowly taught me how to take notes and how to, like what I needed to pay attention to. And all of these things I learned because I work with a good provider. And so that's,
but you helped me be a better provider, because I should have told you those things up front. So.
Well, no, but we figured it out together. But that's the thing, is even back then, with you not knowing what you needed to communicate to me at the time and me not knowing what to do, we still made it through. Like, yeah. I think anybody can do homeopathy. I think that, like, again, if I can get my kids through, I know anybody can get their kids through. It's just a slow learning process that you go through.
All right. There was one other thing that was on my mind, and it's a bit of a shift here to just give you a little bit more insight into how a homeopathic remedy is selected. So what we do as a homeopath is, after we go through all of those, really get all the information that we can, we sort of put the most important symptoms together, and we get a list of all of the remedies that can cover those symptoms and which symptoms they cover and which ones don't. There are tools that we use that help us to access that a little bit more quickly. But then our job is not to just go and look at that. And that's another thing where I wasn't planning on being so focused on AI, but I think it's important because it's very relevant, right? And we want people to be as successful as possible. We want you to use AI where it's useful. And we want you to not potentially mess things up for yourself where it's not going to be as useful. So AI would probably stop at like, this is the remedy that covers this, these things the best. And it shows up in this particular, like, you know, in all of these rubrics, it covers all of these things. But the nuance is really what matters. Cause then it's not just, does it cover this? Because the, as being as close as possible is what matters. And so there are lists of remedies that cover similar symptoms, but when you actually go to the materia medica, which is what is the listing of the things that have been proven in studies and then clinically verified to be useful symptom or treated symptoms that are caused by and treated by that particular medicine. The nuances are, they can be striking. And one thing that I always think about is a symptom that's ailments from mortification. And so like ailments from being embarrassed. And so like when you have symptoms that get worse, like substantially worse whenever you're embarrassed. And there's a remedy in it that was surprising to me. But then when you go and read, the only thing that comes up about mortification or embarrassment is that they tend to be more likely to pick on people and try to mortify others. So it ended up in the ailments from mortification rubric, but it's not actually truly people getting symptoms worse from being embarrassed. And so go diving in and actually reading the materia medica to find those specifics and understanding the nuances of what is in front of you with the person who is experiencing ill health, and then understanding the nuances of the medicines and what symptoms they can provoke and have been shown to effectively treat, and matching those, that nuance is really, really vital. And so, my concern is that, you know, large language models are not going to go in and like read through all of those. I mean, you could probably prompt them to read through it, some of those things and see if they could find it. But still, it's like making sure you understand the symptom and understand the symptom that's being experienced and know that you know it fully and understand how it's used in the materia medica and all of that. I just have concerns about how that would ultimately come about. And then again, even if we manage to get it so that it's trained and effectively able to do those things, I still just have really big concerns about how it's going to do the management, and help people through the tough times, because there's a lot of ups and downs in healing from complex chronic illness. Anything else that we should share about how a remedy is selected, or things you wish you had known when you were getting started, things you wish you knew now, things that you might have been surprised by in any of our recent conversations?
How about things I wish I would not have done?
Okay.
I wish I would not have, in the beginning, I occasionally would go in and look at, after you would recommend a remedy, I would go in and I would read the information that was available to me about the remedy. And I'd be like, what is she talking about? because what I have access to is so incredibly limited. And it would get, it was like a mind game all of a sudden. And I was in my own head about it being the wrong remedy. And So that was one thing. It didn't take me too terribly long, but trusting you, like fully trusting you, like even though what I was seeing was looking a little crazy at the time, fully trusting that you knew what you were doing. And I think this is the important part about, I literally always go back to working with someone that you know is a good homeopath and someone that has a lot of experience with PANS and PANDAS, is if that is your provider, trust them. They know what they're talking about. It's okay to ask questions, but also like trust what you're doing. And for me, that didn't take too terribly long just because we were seeing some good stuff pretty early on. But it's really a hard thing to do when you're going through the healing and you're having that up and down and the steps backwards and everything. But you know, get yourself a good homeopath and then lean in and trust them through all of the parts.
And it's also okay to ask questions if you're not sure.
Yeah.
You know? Like you would read those things and you would ask me about it. And I would have to remind you that it's not about what, like, it doesn't have to match every single aspect. So like, for instance, there's been, you know, if somebody is recommended a remedy that has, I don't know, some sort of like has hallucinations or something that it could treat. It doesn't mean that you can't be effective if you don't have hallucinations. It's not what's present. It's not what's not present. It's what is. And so there's lots of things that, lots of information that's out there that could be startling or surprising. There's also contradictory information. There's a lot of remedies that can treat both constipation and diarrhea. And so if you're seeing, if you're like, well, I've got a constipated kid, but this is a diarrhea remedy. Well, maybe this particular source is talking about diarrhea for it, but it's something that could also be used in constipation. So it's about the symptoms that you have being that are present, being effectively treated by that homeopathic remedy, and not necessarily that you have to have everything that that homeopathic remedy can treat. Yeah. So, all right. Is there anything else that we missed about how a homeopathic remedy is selected?
I think the only other thing was a question that I had for a long time was, why won't you just give me a remedy to help rage? Or why won't you just give me a remedy to help OCD?
Yeah. So again, like that's what we talked about a little bit at the beginning, that it's not, we can't just selectively choose the thing that we want to help the body to heal, because when we heal as a whole person, and the body's going to heal in its own pattern. We're going to talk, we're going to do a whole episode just on the, like the healing journey and what that tends to look like. But the body's going to heal at its own pace, in its own pattern. There are some common, like typical patterns that we see, but even that people break. It's not like a law. It's like a general pattern that, that there are exceptions for all the time. And so like we potentially could, if we wanted to just be palliative and not actually heal it so that the rage itself is a thing of the past at some point. And so that's really where it gets challenging. And because sometimes the symptoms that you want to give for rage or OCD or whatever it happens to be are not really useful symptoms. And so like we could try, but it's probably not going to get you very far, because we need the totality, because everything is interconnected. And so you can't say, I'm going to ignore my migraines, but I'm going to focus on the OCD because I really want the OCD to go away, because the migraines might be the key to finding the best fitting remedy for you versus the OCD.
And I'll say that now I'm glad you didn't give Avery a remedy for the rage or the OCD, because we did your way and your way resulted in all of it being gone. So
yeah, it can just take some time to be patient with the process and trusting that that everything really is connected. And it's a hard shift for us to make, because it's not what most people are raised in with, like the more conventional allopathic approach to health and healing, which chunks us up and we go see this doctor for this particular condition and this doctor for this condition, and acting as if they're separate things that are compartmentalized in one body that works together. So it's mind boggling sometimes how we think that these things aren't connected, but they're absolutely connected. And our body has really fantastic healing power when we just give it the right nudge and the right support. It's got a mind of its own. It's going to do it the way that it wants to. I think that that's the basics for how a homeopathic remedy is selected. The one other thing that we should probably, people will often ask if like this test matters. So like if I've got this particular, if I tested for Lyme or tested for Bartonella, or if I've got mold, does that make a difference? No, it's always about the way that your body reacts to that particular trigger or that particular stimulus, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. So those tests can help us know how to manage something and help us set expectations, but it's not going to tell us what remedy we need to give. It might help us understand a little bit more about like whether something is really characteristic or not for that particular case, but it's not going to ultimately be the determining factor for whether we give something or not. So it's not always 100% necessary to know exactly what the trigger is if we have very clear symptoms that show us what the particular susceptibility is. All right, we'll wrap for today. In our next episode, we are going to talk about finding the one remedy, or what people will hope that they're talking about with finding the one remedy. So we hope that you'll join us for that conversation. Talk to you then, guys.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.